Ja.
On how about with regard to expenditure? And the two members of the committee, the researcher and the content advisor, are going to take us through this presentation. But also for indicating that we would like to wish Mr. Van Frondes well and a speedy recovery, as we are informed by honorable members from the Democratic Alliance that he's not well and that the condition also warranted that there should be a secondment of, or rather, members that will represent in the period that we still recovering at the hospital. Now, I also want to, honorable members would recall also that since from last year, we have never seen honorable Zondi from KZN also because of ill life, ill health. He has not been in the committee. So also our wish that he recovers. And another member of the committee, not here now, but for record, I think we must indicate last year in December, we were informed that Mr. Gayela lost his son, and our heartfelt condolences to that sad loss to Mr. Gayela. So I would like to welcome all of us members to this committee meeting, and it effectively indicates that we have started with our program, and other household matters will be handled by the management to see, to look into the program for the quarter. And as we all know, that also effectively the budget process is going to be much occupying the greater part of our work, as the minister will table the budget next week. So all of us are welcomed, honorable members. So let's start with our meeting. The agenda is as proposed, and I wouldn't really say that we introduce, and we welcome also other members that are here in our committee. Thanks very much. It's an honor always to have our committee really expanding this way, extend our wishes to members that have attended. Now, the agenda and the draft minutes of the previous meeting. I want to draw attention to the minutes of the 26th November 2014. The agenda was the adjustment appropriation report of MTVPS annual report and minutes of previous meeting. Do we endorse that this meeting is a correct reflection of that day's proceedings? Thanks. Charles moves. Isaac? Okay. Isaac agrees. Thanks. All right. And then we'll go to the item for today, then is this matter of the conditional grant. Can I invite Yolanda, Advocate Dow, to take us through the presentation?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members. I will start with the first few slides, and then my colleague Yolanda will follow, and then I will wrap up at the end and give members an opportunity to ask questions for clarity. Thank you, Chair. The presentation is an overview or a summary. A detailed research document has been distributed to members. We believe it will also help where the slides do not provide details. Now, the purpose of this is to indicate to members the following. conditional grant categories and their purpose, conditional grant expenditure trends, provincial breakdown of grant expenditure, the grant system challenges, provisions within the Division of Revenue Act on administration of grants, and the proposed oversight focus for the coming term. We start with Schedule 4 grants. These are allocations to provinces to supplement the funding of programs for functions funded from provincial budgets. Expenditure of these Schedule 4 grants do not form part of national treasuries in-year monitoring report, which means they don't appear in the quarterly report. They only appear at the end of the year. Now, examples of such grants under Schedule 4 grants are the following. We have Comprehensive Agriculture Support Program Grant. Its purpose is to provide support services, promote and facilitate agricultural development by targeting beneficiaries of land restitution and redistribution. We also have Education Infrastructure Grant to accelerate the construction, maintenance, upgrading, and rehabilitation of new and existing infrastructure in education. There is also Occupational Specific Dispensation for Education Sector Therapist Grant to augment the baseline compensation budget of provincial education department. There is also Health Professions Training and Development Grant to fund service costs associated with training health science trainees on the public service platform. Then there is National Tertiary Services Grant to compensate tertiary facilities for the additional costs associated with the provision of tertiary health services. Under this category, we also have Further Education and Training Colleges Grant to ensure the transfer of the functions to the Department of Higher Education and Training. That is a Provincial Road Maintenance Grant to supplement, it's a supplementary funding for preventative maintenance rehabilitation of provincial road networks, and Public Transport Operations Grant, supplementary funding for transport services provided by provincial departments of transport. Now, there is also another category, which is Schedule 5 grant. This is funding provided for a specific purpose. National Treasury publishes expenditure reports with regard to Schedule 5 grants on a quarterly basis, which is in-year reporting. Now, in this category, we have the following grants: Ilima Lejima Project Grant, aimed at assisting vulnerable South African farming communities to increase agricultural production and improving farming skills. There is Landcare Program Grant, which is Poverty Relief and Infrastructure Grant, aimed at promoting sustainable use and management of natural resources by engaging in initiatives that support sustainability and lead to greater productivity, food security, and job creation. There is Community Library Services Grant, aimed at transforming urban and rural community library infrastructure, facilities, and services through a recapitalized program at the provincial level in support of local government and national initiatives. The Naledi Schools Grant aims to improve learner performance in mathematics and science. Under this category, there is HIV and AIDS, which is a life skills education grant. It supports South Africa's HIV prevention strategy by promoting life skills training, sexual and reproductivity knowledge, and encouraging appropriate decision-making among learners and educators to mitigate the impact of HIV. There is a National School Nutrition Program grant aims to improve the nutrition of poor school children, enhance learning capacity, and improve attendance in schools. Technical Secondary Schools Recapitalization Grant aimed at recapitalizing technical schools to improve their capacity to contribute to skill development and training in the country. Technical schools are secondary schools that offer vocational training with respect to specific technical subjects, which include civil technology, electrical technology, mechanical technology, engineering, graphics, and design. Under this category, we also have comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant aimed at developing an effective response to HIV and AIDS, including universal access to HIV counseling and testing, and to support the implementation of the National Operational Plan for Comprehensive HIV and AIDS Treatment and Care, as well as subsidized in-part funding for the antiretroviral treatment program. There is a health facility revitalization grant which has got three components. In those components, there is a health infrastructure, hospital revitalization, and nursing colleges and schools. Its purpose aims at funding general maintenance and infrastructure needs of smaller hospitals and clinics, aimed at providing funding supporting large projects that modernize hospital infrastructure and equipment, aimed at funding the refurbishment and upgrading of nursing colleges and schools. Under this category, there is also National Health Insurance Grant, aimed at testing innovations in health services delivery to assess readiness for the implementation of national health insurance and undertake health system strengthening activities in identified focus areas. Human Settlement Development Grant aims at providing funding for the creation of sustainable human settlements. Expanded Public Works Program, integrated grant for provinces, aimed at incentivizing provincial departments to expand work creation efforts through the use of labor-intensive service and infrastructure delivery methods. Under this category, there is also Social Sector Expanded Public Works Program, incentive for provinces, aimed at incentivizing provincial social sector departments identified in the social sector EPWP LOC program to increase job creation by focusing on the strengthening and expansion of social service programs that have employment potential. Mass Sport Recreation Participating Program grant aimed at facilitating mass participation within communities and schools through selected activities, empowerment of communities and schools in conjunction with relevant stakeholders. The last two categories are Schedule 6 and Schedule 7 grants. Schedule 6 grants are allocated in kind to provinces for designated special programs. Now, in kind, which means a particular structure is established or it's done on behalf of the sector or the community concerned. Expenditure of Schedule 6 grants do not form part of National Treasury in-year monitoring report. Now, in this category, there are three grants: school infrastructure backlog grant to eradicate inappropriate school infrastructure and provide water, sanitation and electricity to schools. There is national health grants fund the improvement of NHI pilots and infrastructure projects and the implementation of the human papillomavirus vaccination program. Human Settlements Development Grant, funding for the creation of sustainable human settlements. Now, the last category is Schedule 7 grants, which are an allocated fund for provinces for disaster response. It is a funding that is there in case there is a disaster that is declared in a particular area, and then funds are allocated on request or on application. Honorable Chair, allow me to pause here and give over through your permission to my colleague to continue with various grants on the expenditure pages. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable Members. The slide shows you a table with the agriculture grants, the Schedule 5 grants, the ILIMA project grant and the land care program grant. And what is shown to you is a 5-year trend and the first two quarters of the 2014-15 financial year. So what you'll see is that expenditure is ranges within the 90% on average. And in the first two quarters, expenditure has been quite slow. It's under the expenditure benchmark of 50%. The slides that follow has a similar template. And you have the Community Library Services grant. And you see here the Community Library Services grant averages 85% over a 5-year period. And in the first two quarters of 2014-15, the expenditure is also low. Or poorly, they're not spending. Basic education, you have two grants that performs really well, that's where provinces always manage to spend, and that's your National School Nutrition Grant and your HIV AIDS grant. Then the Lady Schools grant, since inception in 2011-2012, has been struggling. They've mainly averaged about 84%. As well as the Technical Secondary Schools Recapitalization Grant, which averages about 69% on average over the 5-year period. And then again in the first two quarters of 2014-15, expenditures well below your quarterly expenditure benchmark of 50%. And then in terms of the health grant, you'll see that the health facility revitalization grant has been broken down into three components. The only component where there's recorded expenditure information for 5-year period is the hospital revitalization grant. And you'll see that from 2009-10, it started off in the 70% range and then expenditure improved in 2011-12 to 90%, but it's back down again to 80%. And then you have again, some grants performing better than others, like your comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant, and you'll have the nurses, colleges and schools component that also was only introduced into 2012-13, starting at 70%, and the following year back to 66%. Human Settlements grant is also a grant that performs really well in terms of expenditure. It's an average of 95% and above, and in the first two quarters, it's averaged at 43.6%. And then in terms of public works grant, your integrated grant to provinces, it was fully expended in 2012-13, 100%, and then in 2018-19, it was also near the 100% benchmark. And your social sector expanded public works grant started off slowly at 70% but improved over the few years and it's reached 94% in the last financial year. Then your sport and recreation grant, it's averaged about 90% and it's a bit, the spending has been a bit slow in the first two quarters of the financial year. The next slide gives you a provincial breakdown. So you'll see that in terms of the LITSEMA project grant, expenditure averages at 33.2%, but there is an exception. Northwest is meeting the mark at 58.1%, where all the other provinces are lagging behind in spending this grant. Land care program grant expenditure also varies quite a lot amongst the provinces. Gauteng, in by the second quarter, they registered expenditure of 82.2%, but the national average is 47.9%. And in terms of the community library services grant, expenditure is also well below the 50% benchmark, with only the Western Cape showing that they near to the 50% benchmark at 47.9%. All the others are lagging behind in expenditure. The Naledi Schools grant is one of the poor performing grants in the Schedule 5 grant system. By the second quarter, they only managed to spend 24.7% national average. And the only two provinces that are making any progress in spending this funding is the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape. HIV/AIDS education grant, spending averages at 42.4%, with a few outliers such as the KZN, they've spent 75% already by the second quarter. And then on target would be Eastern Cape at 49.9% and Mpumalanga at 51.6%. And Limpopo way down at 3.4%. National School Nutrition Program grant, spending is quite constant amongst the provinces. So they're either hitting the mark each quarter, 25% or 50%, and some spend about 5 to 7% more. At the end of the day, at the end of the second quarter, Northern Cape was spending 68.1%, while all the others are within the range of the quarterly expenditure benchmark. Technical Secondary Schools Recapitalization Grant, one of the poor performing grants. At the end of the second quarter, expenditure amounted to 20.7%, and it would seem that only the Western Cape is spending this grant, where others are struggling. Limpopo is at 0.7%, Mpumalanga 3.4%. So there are some challenges in spending this grant. Comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant averages 42.9%, and Mpumalanga is on target at 50.9%. And you have a few that are lagging behind, such as the Free State and Limpopo. Health Facility Revitalization Grant. Here the three components aren't broken down. They only provide that information at the end of the year. But in total, 36.7% of that funding has been spent. And you have Free State, KZN, and Northern Cape, and Northwest, being within the 50% target reach at the end of the second quarter. And then struggling with provinces would be Limpopo at 19.8% and Mpumalanga at 14.6%. The National Health Insurance Grant, another purpose spending grant, averages 24.4%. That's a first quarterly target, and it's already in the second quarter. Gauteng is the only one that's on target in spending this grant at 53.6%, followed by Limpopo at 39.3% at stretch. But it's most likely that a number of these provinces will have to surrender the funds back to a National Revenue Fund at the end of the year. Human Settlements Development Grant, also a good performing grant, averages at 43.6% at the end of the second quarter, but there's a few provinces such as KwaZulu-Natal at 61.6% 61%, and Mpumalanga and the Eastern Cape, that is within, and Northern Cape, which is in the reach of the 50% target for the second quarter. And then Limpopo at 8.5% is lagging way behind all the other provinces. EPWP, Integrated Grant for Provinces. Again, a grant that where provinces manage to spend well, but the spending patterns among the provinces differs greatly. You have the Eastern Cape spending most of the funding within the first quarter at 70.3%, and KZN and the Western Cape being on target, similarly the Northern Cape. And then you have other provinces that struggle with this grant, such as Gauteng, Limpopo again, Mpumalanga, Northwest. Social sector grant, you have an average of 48.6%. Most of the grants are within 40 to 50% range. Limpopo, for the first time, is doing really well. They're spending this grant at 64.1%. Northwest is at
63.2%.
No. With some grants they do perform and other grants they don't. Mass sport and recreation. Spending is usually good with this grant, but for some reason this year they're not reaching the quarterly targets because it's down at 32.4%. And here again, Limpopo is the best spending province in terms of this grant at 40.9%. So the grant that I've underspent for the second quarter is the Health Facility Revitalization Grant, the Letsema Project Grant, Community Library Services Grant, Mass Sports and Recreation, the Naledi Schools Grant, National Health Insurance Grant, and the Technical Secondary Schools Recapitalization Grant. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Yolanda. Advocate, do you want to say something?
Just to wrap up the last commission. Slide 35 shows the grant system challenges. What we are trying to do here is to indicate to honorable members that while spending is a concern, there are other issues that should also be a concern to members, especially when the Division of Revenue Bill is going to be tabled before the committee. Members, in addressing the submission on the bill, need also consider some of the challenges, because that is in the Division of Revenue Bill where some of the challenges can be addressed, and also during the oversight work of the committee. Now, some of the challenges are the following: shifting grants from direct to indirect and from one department to another. Direct, that is when funds are spent by a national department, either in a province or in a municipality. Indirect, that is when funds are transferred, and the transferring department provide technical support. Now, at times, grants which are not performing as direct grants, they are converted into indirect. Where they are not performing as indirect, they are going back to direct. We have seen during the MTDPS, one province requested a grant that is direct to be indirect because the province felt maybe it has got capacity. Another challenge is when the grant moves from one department to another. Well, at times this is informed by changes in the executive, because departments are restructured, but that can pose a challenge. But I believe honorable members just need to be aware of the unintended consequences when such moves are taken. Another challenge is poor planning, which is characterized by slow procurement processes, submission of unsound plans that lack risk management or show unrealistic targets or do not show long-term plan. This affects how the funds get started, because if planning is not done in time, spending won't take place in time. Maybe during the hearings, or when submissions are made, there might be a need to assess the readiness of the department on those grants. Unfortunately, time may not be on the committee side, but at a particular point, there must be a need to just say to the department, this is what is due to you, convince us as a committee your readiness, your capacity to implement. Then if there is readiness, then the committee can approve or recommend. Some of the challenges are non-compliance with reporting on spending, output and outcome. So in some cases, information is not there on expenditure issues. But of the main concern is the outcome and output. What was achieved with this grant? What has been presented to the members here is just how money was spent. How many houses, how many children were fed, how many people were developed in skills-wise, there is no indication. But the report must not end there. It must also show the outcome. What was the impact of that development, that training? Going forward, there might be a need for such kind of information. Monitoring capacity constraints within national departments. In terms of the constitution, national departments need to work together with provincial and even municipalities. But now when the transferring department does not seem to have capacity, then it creates a challenge to implementing departments, because if they don't also have capacity, then the grant may not achieve its intended purpose. Implementation capacity constraints or lack of technical skills. Some grants need technical people. Now, if there are no technical people, then the department may end up outsourcing the service, which may complicate the implementation. Another challenge is poor project management that compromises quality of the work done, especially in human settlement and even roads and transport, where the quality of the infrastructure created at times is questionable or is not long-lasting, because the people who were supposed to oversee that project relied on agents or people who are service providers who are there just to render the service and go away. I like a situation where the department is having capacity to do that and take responsibility of whatever output is there. Underspending, this one we have already talked about it. Questionable spending, such as huge expenditure spikes and transfers to implementing agents. In one grant here, when my colleague was presenting, a province is during the first quarter spent 8%, but the second quarter is 47%. There might be good reasons, but in some cases you find such spikes, especially during March, when provinces realize that if we don't spend, then the money must go back to the national treasury. Now, these are the spikes that members need to be aware of and question when appropriate. And also transfer to implementing agents. What happens in this case is money is transferred to an agent who is going to implement. But when the department reports, that transfer is reported as expenditure. Whether the service provider or the agent that is going to provide the service has already delivered, it's another thing. And lastly, there is what we may call a disjuncture between allocation and implementation, which creates problems of accountability. One can give an example of education infrastructure grants, wherein maintenance and repairs in schools is done by public works, but the grant is with Department of Education. The education department is controlling the grant, but public works is doing the implementation. We have FET called this grant, wherein the grant, even though it's supposed to be with the Department of Higher Education, it is still with provinces, but accountability is with the Department of Higher Education. These are some of the challenges. The next slide just show members what are the provisions in the Division of Revenue Act, or what will also appear in the Division of Revenue Bill, so that when members look at these challenges, members can also check whether these provisions are enough or where they need to be strengthened. The first provision is duties of national transferring officers and duties of provincial receiving officers and even municipalities. The DORA is clear, it explains who must do what. Now, when things go wrong, whoever is responsible needs to account, because what appears is this grant is not spending. As to where the problem started, I think the DORA helps members to just trace where the problem is. And the DORA also provides the role of national treasurer with regard to payment schedules and their amendment. Now, in some cases, the payment schedules in the Division of Revenue Bill, when it's presented, just say three payments. As to what percentage, it's not indicated. Now, come the spending time, the committee may not know whether what has been transferred is according to plan or is less than what was expected. Now, if that can be clarified, in some cases there is clarity, but in some of the grants it is not indicated. The spending purposes and conditions, this one we already clarified it earlier on. There is also conditions for withholding and stopping or reallocation of grants, which also compromises service delivery, because when funds are withheld, are stopped, are reallocated, the recipient, who is the public, is affected. But Treasury, unfortunately, has a duty to make sure that money are not just transferred. If certain things are not complied with, the National Treasury will withhold or even reallocate if there's no spending. Reporting requirements, we talked about it earlier on, conversions of allocations. The allocations can also be converted in terms of the Division of Revenue Bill, but also that one affects the recipient, because when the funds are converted, they may be used for other things. Unspent allocations and requests for rollover. Of importance is the request for rollovers. The Public Finance Management Act clarifies the conditions for rollover. One of the requirements is when the funds are committed. It's necessary, especially to be convinced that the funds are really committed and then they can be rolled over. The Act also provides duties and powers of municipalities and provincial treasuries and national treasuries. Now, in conclusion, honorable members, we propose the following for consideration by the committee. The first is national departments that should be called before the committee for reporting on financial and non-financial outcomes of grants administered by them should be especially those administering Schedule 4 and 6 grants. We have already explained what these grants are all about. Provinces that should be called before the committee regarding overall conditional grant expenditure performance also can be Schedule 5 grants. That, now, in that, national departments that failed to report appropriately need to be called to explain, and provincial departments that do not spend. Another thing that we recommend is oversight visit to certain projects of provinces that seem to be spending well to ascertain value for the money spent. On paper, certain provinces seem to be doing well, but whether indeed the work that is there is of good quality, it's only the oversight visit that can confirm that. And lastly, we recommend strengthening the provision for grants during the Division of Revenue Bill 2015 processes. Now, when the bill is tabled, as the technical team, we will provide certain recommendations to the committee for consideration. Chair, we thank you for your time and honorable member.
Well, thank you very much, Advocate, and Yolanda, for the presentation. And members, that's the presentation that catches the overview on the performance of the conditional grant expenditure as of the second court.
There's a third quarter report also attached to the information pack.
The third quarter is attached, but you have not spoken to it.
No.
Okay, there's a third quarter attached. But I think, let's thank you for the presentation. They've also summed up pertinent issues for further probing by the committee and propose the way forward. A way forward is proposed that we need really to call some departments, both nationally and in the provinces, to grapple with those issues and also to deal with issues of quality check, to also compare those that are spending well, what is the product in which they spend, or whether I think is consistent with the policy objectives are attained. I think those are issues that they raise. Members, can I invite comments and so forth? Charles?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for this analysis by the Content Advice and Research Unit. Chairperson, on the 27th of March 2014, the NCOP adjourned for the elections. For the rest of 2014, we didn't engage on expenditure performance on conditional grants by provinces. And the point I want to make, Chair, is in terms of the recommendation on page 37, that as a matter of urgency, the nine provincial treasuries be called the NCOP with the National Treasury to get the overall picture of that provincial fiscal position. Secondly, the spending patterns in each department. And then proceeding after that to invite the specific provincial departments with the national departments referring to the spending patterns here. I've got my provincial spending document, which we had a lecture on this weekend, and I'm very concerned because it also emphasizes the role that the Provincial Legislators Committee on Finance have to play. So inviting these provinces, that we also invite the chairperson of the relevant finance committee in that specific legislature in the province, to tighten not only the relationship between us and the provinces, but to tighten the oversight role, and that this be done on a quarterly basis, that we don't land up in a position that we had in Limpopo, that fingers are pointed at us And we are asked, now what did Parliament do? Didn't you see this thing coming? Referring to the State of the Nation address of the priority set for this coming financial year. Thank you, Chair. That's my input.
Thanks, Charles. That's very well said. I take it that is taking forward some of the issues that are raised here, that there's an agency that we go back to a normal cycle of a functioning of both appropriations and the finance committees in dealing with the oversight. Katie, I saw your hand, and you are welcome, Katie, Ms. Van Ligen. I must acknowledge you in the committee that is FAGO, and Honorable Khai, all of you are honorable for making it to this committee. Then. No, you are honorable also, Mr. Ntheleni. I've always regarded you highly in this committee. So, Kathy, can you comment?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for allowing me to take part. I just want to agree with the proposals of Honorable De Beer, especially if we look at page 3 where it says the expenditure of Schedule 4 grants do not form part of National Treasury's in-year monitoring reports, and that in the presentation they said it's once in a year that these reports appear before the NCLP. But on the other hand, it's part of the provincial quarterly, should be part of the provincial quarterly reports. And therefore, I will strongly support Honorable De Beer's proposal that the chairpersons of the provinces, who is supposed to do the oversight role in the provinces, are also brought before the NCLP to tighten the oversight role. Then I first wanted to ask, because I'm a novice here, why do we focus on the second term expenditure if the third term expenditure looks very good? But then I also agree that we should look at the NCOP on the patterns of expenditure. But the other thing that worries me is my proposal would be that if we, when we look at the third term expenditure, that we really focus on those provinces that still doesn't have a good track record of expenditure in both second and third term. Then my last question would be, whose responsibility is it, and what role does this committee play in overcoming the challenges in the provinces and or in National Treasury on the expenditure of these grants? Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Any other comment? Okay, Honorable Khai.
Thank you. committee, if you invite the department head, the association head to your committee, you do that one. But we meet with the department almost on a weekly basis. So we are at a position as part of the committee to raise this issue that might be raised in the one and the one. So I wanted to suggest that there should be some exchange of information between the committee.
Thanks, Honorable Kai. Mchileni, I also know that you, Ms. Van Lingen, after Mchileni.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Honorable, let me share a sentiment. You know, Honorable shared a bit of what I had. Because, you know, when you check, we are blindly concentrating only on our committees. And this has become a cause for serious concern. So I also would like to support that, you know, there should be, maybe we should just establish a forum where sometimes all of us come together, where maybe chairpersons of select committees or portfolio committees can at least share their views on what is actually taking place, just to keep ourselves abreast with you know, the latest developments in terms of all the select committees or standing committees. Because you find that we go the whole year, you know, with Amatlabis, I depend on appropriations and maybe finance, and you know, the other part of myself is blind. I cannot answer when I go out there in the community. Maybe just before I pause, I also would like to welcome the report. At the same time, have a little bit of a comment on the issue of Lipompo. I also want us to take serious note of the fact that, you know, we have seen, all of us have seen serious intervention in Lipompo. And I don't know if maybe these administrators were helping in any way, because they were there getting their salaries, you know, accommodation being paid. They instead upped, you know, the spending part on the part of government. But you, the person on the grassroots getting nothing. I still would like to hear from all the departments. I recently heard that, you know, human settlements as a department, since administrators have been there, they did not spend in two consecutive financial years. This year, or 2013-2014, returning a total of 600 million unspent. And I may not know if maybe it is because in some of the presentations here, it is indicated that we welcome unspent, you know, the budget, so that it can be, you know, earmarked again for this or the next financial year. I don't know if this has become a trend, but it is just a proposal that we should also know from all the departments what have they spent, in particular the Bompo, which was under admin. We should know as a, you know, appropriations and finance. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Mchileni. Well, there's part which the Finance Committee under the leadership of Honorable DBA will maybe the issue that is dealing with regarding Limbo. So it may be, it will be useful that that light is shed about how, what progress and what are the things. Honorable, if you can do it now or you may do it in a formal finance session. Mtileni likes raising them interchangeably. He's free, he speaks his mind all the time, whether it's for finance or what, but there's a same linkage of these issues. Something with him. No. before I got a sense that members are agreeing with the recommendation, but let me allow Ms. Van Lingen first so that we come to, yeah, I'll just refine the process from now onward. Thanks, Ms. Van Lingen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Is this the same document that we got via email that we had to download from the Dropbox? Because I had a problem downloading it. but a Dropbox should not, that's why you use a Dropbox, because then you can download it. That's the purpose of a Dropbox. So in a way, we must just find a way in which we can share this document so that we can study it before the time, or perhaps pass on. Chairperson? And then I'm very concerned about the fact that there are for grants 4, 6 and 7, I think, there are no quarterly reports. Because how are we going to do oversight if there are no quarterly reports? And we as committees and as NCOP, we often do oversight, and if we don't know what's going on where, it might not work. I need some guidance on this, and I could see Honorable De Beer is probably telling you that this is finance, but yeah. And then the provincial departments also tickle me a lot, because that report has to is not working very well in terms of there are actually 5 departments in Limpopo, 2 in the Free State and 1 in the Eastern Cape. And how do they work, and when would this committee see those reports? Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Van Niekerk.
Charles? That's the reason I requested that on a quarterly basis we call the provincial treasuries, because in that meeting is tabled a quarterly spending report. Yes, mine, from my Northern Cape province. So it is available, but you get it on the provincial website, excuse me, of the provincial treasury. That's where you're going to get it. You don't get it in Pretoria. You get it in the Eastern Cape, in York. So it is available, but at the provincial treasury. Because this is what the Portfolio Committee on Finance is dealing with in the legislature on a quarterly basis. That's what they're supposed to do. And that's where the interface comes up between the NCOP and the legislature.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Let's I'll allow you to get us back on to bring something.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I missed you for quite some time. But also let me appreciate the presentation. There were quite a number of questions that I had. But when you go to page 35 and 37, most of those questions were answered. You know, during the school opening, there was we made some visits on the 14th and the 15th.
The issue of the
juncture between allocation and spending was very much central. Particularly in the farm schools, we'll find that there is a challenge of the infrastructure. But the funds has already been allocated. The implementation starts with the Department of Public Works. Where the project also has started, the feedback to the department for a report is not done. So my suggestion going forward is that perhaps if the public works implementer, let the project manager come from the Department of Education, so that from time to time the department should be informed of any development. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Let's work. Let's agree that what we're saying is that this financial year we should engage in a vigorous oversight and accountability. Look into financial matters, performance, expenditure performance of provinces. We are going to do that.
as proposed by the document and also members here emphasized, we'll also strengthen coordination with other committees in terms of sharing this information. We strengthen coordination with other committees so that the information is shared, and rightly so, members of other committees consistently deal with these matters, but we should, with this quarterly engagement, we'll add value with to other committees, areas of focus. The issues that were raised here of spikes and how other provinces keep the impression that there is good performance, but is it consistent with policy objectives, that those will be highlighted. Would that we use information provided up to second quarter together with the third quarter to decide which of those provinces are still in that situation, non-performance, and then we must intervene, call those departments, the national departments. I think it has helped to shape the criteria of who we must call and deal with urgently. I think the proposed dates will be communicated. The management committee must quickly deal with those issues. And jointly, I think the appropriations together with finance portfolio committee tease out what will be broader program for these meetings. We fortunate position that members of the appropriation and finance are still in the same. So I think we'll highlight those issues with my colleague, Honorable Shah. Any comments you want to make on specific issues that you think require further clarity? When I give you, don't try to negotiate with your colleague. Respond, I'll give your colleague also.
I just want to answer the question as to why the report and presentation focused on second quarter information. It was because that information was available when we started. We looked at what the committee program was. Third quarter information was only published 2 weeks ago by Treasury on their website. So we are dependent on whether as to when National Treasury publishes the information.
From me, on the issue of disjunction, some of the things that members raise now, during the budget processes, there will be a time to interact with the minister, there will be a time to interact with the department, and there will be a time to interact with other stakeholders. That is at that stage where members can strengthen the issue of this disjunction and also propose and hear from the National Treasury the practicality of having a project officer coming from certain departments. Now, on the issue of reporting on quarterly basis of certain grants, the matter can also be discussed during the interaction with the minister and the National Treasury and see the practicality of doing that. And if it is practical, then the Division of Revenue Bill can be strengthened in that regard. The info sharing, I believe that one will leave it to the politicians so that they can find a mechanism. Now, on the assessment of the impact of Limpopo intervention, the issue that Honorable President, I think it has been addressed, but one can also say when the departments are called, they will give an indication, because now those questions can still be raised with them and members will get further clarity on that issue. So it will not go unaddressed. There was a last question on who responsibility is to address the challenges. The committee has the responsibility to raise these challenges with the National Treasury, with sector departments, so that if there is no solution, one would say, then why do we have to make this allocation? That is the response that we can give members to say. The committee has the mandate to raise issues and even make recommendations And those recommendations, once adopted by Parliament, then the executive needs to implement. So the basic line is the committee takes the initiative of raising the issues and making proposals or recommendations. Chair, we thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Professor. Dubawal?
Thank you, Chair President. Chair, I want to try and explain how the previous committee has dealt with this exercise of monitoring the expenditure of political grants. The committee, the previous committee, what they decided was that, let's say we will deal with a certain conditional grant on a particular day, we'll identify four provincial departments. Maybe the most understanding, which would be three, and one that would be spending very well on that particular conditional grant. We'll invite those four provinces together with the national department that is responsible for that conditional grant. Let's say if the ILEMA will invite the Department of Agriculture and four provincial departments of agriculture. National Treasury, then it will be the committee. So the committee then will assess in terms of the expenditure, why they were under expenditure, why, for example, Province X has overspent and all the stuff. That's to evaluate and also see the challenges and come up with recommendations and identify findings and recommendations. But the major challenge is time limited. I'm sure my colleague will also ask this on this committee. The work of this committee, in fact, is mandated by the legislation. So, in most cases, sometimes we can even work without having a program, because we know that between January and April, we are dealing with the budget, the Division of Revenue and Appropriations. Then the stage for us to deal with conditional grants after we have dealt with the budget, which will be after July to say later early October. Thereafter, we can't move again because there is MCDF. We must deal with the budget again. And then all of a sudden, now we are in January again, we must deal with the budget of the following year and all that. So that's where the problem is. Previously, the Committee on Finance has been dealing with what Honorable Tsuke is proposing that the committee must deal with. The fiscal evaluation of fiscal positions of provinces. So I don't know how we're going to deal with it now as this committee, or maybe you are indicating that exercise, the Select Committee on Finance needs to revise it and continue to do it. I don't know, maybe if you can clarify on that.
No, I don't allow Honorable Dibia to clarify that position. He made a very good point. Yeah, that now let's what we must do, Lubabalo, what you were speaking on will be amplified when we meet in the management committee, because the proposed oversight focus speaks on what we are raising, national, provinces, all of those things. We must go to detail, and it also must be realistic, we must go to detail. But I think one thing that we agree here is that there should be a qualitative improvement this year in terms of dealing with this financial oversight matter. Last year, Honorable Dibia started well to say it was an election year, all of these things. And also we know that next year there will be this program that will be going to elections. This year, we have got an opportune moment to deal qualitatively with this issue that we have flagged. But I think within the framework of what we say, what will be the ideal period that we'll be able to deal with this period? We must answer that question in the management. So throw around ideas, even go to specific matters. Can within the confines of the time that we're operating do certain things? Which province? What will be the focus, the theme? I think we must deal with those issues
then we must propose the program to the committee for the committee to endorse the program. Thank you very much. I don't want to... Okay, I follow the agenda. We have... The agenda says closing remarks by the chair. And then, thanks very much for this first meeting and the deliberation. We have flagged very important issues. We will discuss you know that the social condition also, FSC does also do a lot of work with regards to conditional grants. And also the National Treasury, every financial year, reforms the conditional grants. Which ones are still relevant, which ones are phased out, and so forth. We must discuss these issues. And we also would use also the